fighting for America. Fighting for Idaho.
They asked us to try to get three people to vote for the bond, and so I was trying to do my part.
The multi-million-dollar bond would build two middle schools and an elementary school, remodel and expand Meridian High, and buy property where another school can be built in the future.
Fighting for you.
One had to hire an attorney to write a letter to force them off her property, and the other one had to get her big burly neighbor to come down and basically threaten them.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We're joined now by our great friend Steve Forbes joining us. And Mr. Forbes, thank you for joining us.
Good to be with you, Kevin. Thank you.
You know, I remember the last time you were in Idaho, you were giving speeches, and I didn't have any hair then, so welcome back.
It's good to be back. Thank you. How's the weather out there?
Oh, it's going to be in the 50s today, sir.
Oh, my goodness. Suntan lotion.
Exactly.
What we're having here.
Now, I don't mean to go back to the old days, but can you believe it's been almost, well, it has been 20 years since I started out in talk radio, and you were my first big guest back in Nashua, New Hampshire, when you were running for president. Can you believe it's been 20 years?
No. That's back when you were in high school, yes.
Exactly. And I was explaining to a lot of people your great slogan that you have today, and it still resonates for me, the idea of hope, growth, an opportunity. Now you're launching this new nonprofit organization committed to promoting economic and fiscal policies that'll put America back towards prosperity. But you had hope before the president talked about it. And I always remember that phrase from your campaign, hope, growth, and opportunity. It lives today.
Well, thank you. And we've just launched this organization, Americans for Hope, Growth, and Opportunity, precisely as you pointed out, to promote economic growth. We're still in a stagnant situation today. We're like a baseball player. You know, there's spring training now. Baseball player batting 250, and we should be batting 350. And there are a lot of things in the way. One of the things we're pushing and pushing hard is, once again, the flat tax. And I think the American people now are in a mood for it, and so we're going to be pressuring candidates and pressuring the policymakers to get this done after the 2016 elections. And that's why we launched our website, AHGO, Americans for Hope, Growth, and Opportunity, AHGO.us, to start the process. I think Americans, instead of just being angry or frustrated, I think it's time we now take action. We got to get these things done.
Well, speaking of economic opportunity, your thoughts on Target announcing they're firing, laying off 2,000 people?
Well, this is a part of what's happening. We get some improvement in the labor market, but we also have a part of the economy still stagnating, and we still have millions of people not fully participating in the labor force, and people who aren't getting the kind of pay raises that we've had in past periods. We're now in the sixth year of a recovery, and this is the worst recovery from a sharp downturn in American history. And the reason for it is an oppressive tax code, hideously complicated. Washington politicians treating the dollar like a piece of toilet paper, and all of the uncertainties surrounding health care. People are paying more and getting less for the most part. It's outrageous.
Well, speaking of which, what do you make of the economic policy, Mr. Forbes, that we're printing our own money? The stock market seems to be doing great, but as you've pointed out, the average folks, the average worker, they're working more and getting paid less.
Well, that's right. And even though they tell us inflation is not there, food prices have been inching up. And as soon as gas prices go down, the politicians want to raise gas taxes. I mean, they're hopeless, a lot of these people.
Well, that's the idea. And we go back to your campaign in 96. If you could go back in the hot tub time machine, is there anything that you would do that would Make America Stronger Today. I know you've launched this group and you care about America. You have other things to do, but you know it seems as if 20 years ago was a different world.
It was, and we'd have had a much better world today if we'd done these pro-growth things 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And there's no reason why we have a hideous tax code, millions of words. The IRS doesn't know what's in it. Tax preparers, for the most part, don't know what's in the thing. You know, several years ago, Money Magazine did a survey. They took a hypothetical family's finances numbers, gave them to 46 different tax preparers, people considered expert in the field. And you know what they got back? 46 different returns, 46 different estimates of what that family owed, thousands of dollars of difference. And this from people who make their living at this thing. So as a free people, we shouldn't tolerate this. We should have a tax code where we can do it on a piece of paper, a few keystrokes on a computer, and be done with it. And if you make it, you pay it, period, over.
It's hard to believe that the flat tax that a lot of people had issues with would be so simple, so easy. What would the CPAs do?
Well, they would be busy working for all the businesses, all the new companies and entities that would be created with a more prosperous economy. You know, there'll be some losers. I mean, H&R Block, when I ran in 96, H&R Block sent a mailing to New Hampshire, the New Hampshire primary, warning of the impending end of civilization if we had tax simplification.
Right.
you couldn't write a comedy based on that.
Well, you were public enemy number one because of the flat tax.
For a while, but yeah. I think the American people see it, even if the Washington politicians don't. They know this thing brings out the worst in us. It's a huge source of corruption, a big source of lobbying in Washington. All around this code, people trying to get special breaks, politicians offering us seeming the credit for this, credit for that, and yet we seem to fall further and further behind. So we just got to take this beast, this tax code, kill it, drive a stake through its heart, bury it, and hope it never rises again, and start all over again. This thing is beyond redemption.
Steve Forbes joining us at 580KIDO with Kevin Miller. Mr. Forbes launching Americans for Hope, Growth, and Opportunity. Now, so you're saying, are you going to be a player in the primaries at all? Or you did say you're going to after the general election?
We're going after the candidates, both in the primary and in the general election. I'm an agitator now, educator, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
And trying to get these issues out there. And Ronald Reagan got it right. He said the way you change minds on Capitol Hill, he said, is not just through sweet reason. He said you do it through the heat of public opinion. We want to turn that heat on, turn it up, so we get a real change that benefits people and not lobbyists.
Well, Mr. Forbes, we take a look at this, though. People are, and you know this, that they feel disconnected from their government because they're, as we've said, working more, getting less with the flat tax, with some of your other economic ideas that you want to bring to the forefront. How can we get America back to work again?
Well, precisely by making these kinds of changes. One of the things we're promoting is a sound dollar. You know, imagine what your life would be like if the number of minutes in an hour changed each day. You know, 60 minutes one day, 82 minutes the next, 10 minutes the day after. It'd be chaotic. Well, it's the same thing with money. When you have unstable money, whether it's a weak or suddenly strong, you know, a watch, a clock, you don't want to be too fast or too slow. You want the right time. And so we've got to get a stable dollar back in America. Otherwise, small and new businesses will continue to have a hard time getting credit. We'll have more of these financial crises and more of this kind of malaise that we have today in health care. I mean, why can't we have patient control of health care? We don't have the government running agriculture. Government's involved in agriculture. But imagine if government ran the food business in this country. There'd be no more obesity. We'd all be starving. And so get patients in charge again, and we can have effective safety nets just as we do in food. We have food banks, food stamps. No one needs to starve in this country. And we can do the same thing in healthcare. Get real entrepreneurship. Make healthcare more affordable. Entrepreneurs are ready and willing to do it. But they get crushed by all the, literally, with this Obamacare, there are literally thousands and thousands of pages, tens of thousands of pages of regulations coming. It's nuts.
Do you think the Supreme Court will strike it down this time around or another rubber stamp?
Oh, boy. They better strike it down. I mean, if the law says clearly, and the law says very, very clearly in this case about these state exchanges, how can the Supreme Court ignore that and say, well, it had an unintended consequence? Well, if it has an unintended consequence, what our founders wanted was you change the law. You don't have somebody acting like a dictator saying, well, we'll just ignore it because it's inconvenient or we didn't mean to do it. You change the law. With this idea that a president, and he's not just doing health care, he's now going after the Internet, regulating the Internet. You know, the time's going to come where you, if you want to set up a website, you're going to have to get register with the federal government. And come on. This is crazy.
Scary when you think about the Federal Department of the Internet, really.
Oh, boy, if you love Obamacare, you'll certainly love Obama Internet, ObamaNet.
What about China? Your thoughts on our relations with China economically?
Well, I think the key thing with China is putting pressure on them to obey the rules. Rules on trade, rules on what they call intellectual property. You know, you set up a business in China and they oftentimes they steal your technology and don't pay you for it. So reducing trade barriers, respecting property rights, those are the things we should be pushing. And I think China knows, even though they haven't really acted on it yet, that they've got to make major reforms to get their economy truly moving again. That's the kind of pressure we should be putting. But again, this president, he just washes his hands of these kinds of things. All rhetoric. You know, the rhetoric is there. But as the Israelis told us yesterday, the reality is quite different.
If these policies aren't corrected, what's our future?
Our future is grim. But one of the great things about this country, and I'm old enough to remember the 1970s, a decade of malaise, terrible, terrible time. And then in the early 80s, in the 1980s, with the reforms that Ronald Reagan brought in, this country surged back. And I think we're going to make a comeback again. And we got to get through the next 2 years. They're going to be tough. But I think you can see the foundations being laid for great things, including health care. Big things are coming if they just get out of the way, both in terms of delivery of health care and in new cures. I've been involved a little bit on the cancer side. I had cancer a few years ago, and there are some big breakthroughs coming there. So exciting things are ahead. We just got to get through the next 2 years, get these barriers out of the way, which is one reason why we started this organization, to help put pressure to make the kind of changes to get this country being what it should be.
If I'm not mistaken, you were one of the first advocates, if not the first advocate, of the health savings account.
Going back probably before you were born, almost, for over 25 years.
Yes.
We've been advocating that. And again, putting patients in charge. You should not have bureaucrats deciding whether you get to see a specialist or not, stuff like that.
Mr. Forbes, finally, I just want to thank you. It's always a pleasure to have you on, and I go back to those days in Nashville, and I know it's probably a blur for you with the buses and your family and the endless interviews and such.
I remember the name, and hope to see you soon. I get out to Idaho once in a while, once a year, and so maybe we can get together again, and hopefully we'll be celebrating the flat tax.
Hope, growth, and opportunity. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Kevin.
That was Steve Forbes joining us, a great man. And a lot of people think of Steve Forbes, one of the wealthiest guys around. But back in the day, and I understand that you're thinking hope and change. No, in 1996, actually 1995, hope, growth, and opportunity. Isn't that what America's about? And isn't that what you want for your kids? Check that out, by the way. Always a pleasure. And again, 20 years ago, he remembers Kevin Miller as a baby talk show host. Now here with you in Idaho. I should have asked him if he's going to run again. 819, let's get you to work safe.
Treasure Valley's exclusive home for Kevin Miller. KIDOAM.com. 580 KIDO. Idaho's place to talk.
I need to make it clear. He has every right to be here. His First Amendment and my First Amendment rights are not violated by him being here. It's more a government endorsement of that I'm opposed to.
There we have it. Reaction to the Hindu prayer at the Idaho State Capitol during the Senate session. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We are talking about prayer. We also talk about ACHD looking to revoke prayer at their meeting that they just voted to invoke prayer. A lot of praying going on today. Let's go to the phones, and Liberal Steve joins us at 580KIDO.
Buenos dias, Idaho.
You notice he only does that when there's just us. When we have a guest, it's always, well, hello, Senator Crapo. Hello, Governor Otter. Hello, this. Hello, that. Yet when it's just us, we get the multilingual Liberal Steve.
Now, who's this guy now that was talking to the senators?
You had a Hindu priest.
No, I'm not talking. I don't care about the Hindu priest. There's only one true church in America and in the world, and people know who that is. That was the church that Peter was handed the keys to build on the rock. It's a Roman Catholic church. It's the only true faith in the world. I mean, everything else is blah, blah, blah. We all know that, okay? Now on to Benjamin Netanyahu.
I think a lot of people disagree with that.
Well, who cares if they disagree?
Are you a member of the faith then?
No, I'm.
So you're a non-believer, yet you comment that the only faith is the Catholic faith. That's not very consistent.
I'm a scholar of doctrines and history.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the Council of Nicaea then.
I haven't got time for that right now, Kevin. You know what it was. I know what it was. Anyway, Netanyahu. How could you have a name like Internet and email like Yahoo? Benjamin Netanyahu. I don't understand. Anyway, that whole thing was put on.
How about the Treaty of Versailles? Would you care to comment on that?
The president and him had it worked out to make the president look like the good guy, so he's got negotiation powers with Iran and the Arabs and everything else. And that Net and his country still stay the bad guys. It's all a show, Kevin. It's all smoke and mirrors. It has been since the beginning of time. There's intelligent people like myself, and there's stupid people like the rest of the world, and they don't have a clue. You stay fired up, Kevin. I need coffee, man.
You need a lot of things.
Iran's goons in Gaza, its lackeys in Lebanon, its revolutionary guards on the Golan Heights are clutching Israel with three tentacles of terror.
Benjamin Netanyahu yesterday, in addition to that, you kind of heard our version of the crawl where you have the Channel 7 story playing a little there, where you had State Senator Steve Vick, Sherry Nuxall, and Lori Ding Hartog walk out. And they waited, or actually they came back in once the prayer was over. Rajan Zed, guest chaplain, gave a lengthy prayer in both English and Sanskrit that focused on selflessness and peace. Senators from both sides of the aisle shook him his hand and thanked him for coming in. Now, getting back to the statement here by Senator Vick, I chose to be more vocal with my form of protest because I don't want to see Idaho endorsing that. I don't want to be seen as our country moving away from our Judeo-Christian traditions toward Hindu traditions by elevating him and this religion in that way. Nuxall said she declined to attend because she believes the United States is a Christian nation. Little controversy there. Quite frankly, I would hope that the legislature embraces Christianity as much as they're embracing the Hindu faith. Now, what's next? Buddha? Islam? Are we going to have to make sure everybody gets their turn? Of course, when it comes to school prayer, that's gone. Except in Detroit, where they have Islamic prayers. School prayer, pledge allegiance to the flag. Some schools, that's gone away. And I think it really gets down to you. Yes, we were founded on religious freedom, but if you were a member of the Idaho State Senate, would you listen to the prayer? And aren't we getting away from the faith that founded America? Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Iran and ISIS are competing for the crown of militant Islam. Both want to impose a militant Islamic empire, first on the region and then on the entire world. In this deadly game of thrones, there's no place for America or for Israel. No peace for Christians, Jews, or Muslims who don't share the Islamist medieval creed. No rights for women, no freedom for anyone. So when it comes to Iran and ISIS, the enemy of your enemy is your enemy.
There we have it. Benjamin Netanyahu yesterday before both houses of Congress, and you had shocking just the number of people that had a negative preview of it. Even the president, we heard from Idaho State GOP Chairman Stephen Yates, who has done a lot of international work working for President Bush, working for Vice President Cheney, giving his review of this. And it seemed as if the president took Netanyahu's visit to America personally, as if it was a personal affront to him that Netanyahu did come here and did speak before Congress. And then you had a lot of congressional folks that had issues with Benjamin Netanyahu sounding off and really making some outrageous, irresponsible, and disrespectful statements. Here's an old friend from North Carolina, Congressman David Price.
This speech today wasn't about whether we agreed or disagreed. It was about the circumstances of this invitation and the lasting damage it could do. But it's our job now to get past this this controversy, to focus on the task at hand.
Wow. To focus on the task at hand. Here's my favorite.
The floor of the House is a centerpiece of public debate in our democracy. It should not be used as a partisan tool.
The floor of the House is a partisan tool. That's Representative John Lewis, civil rights icon. I love that. The floor of the House should not be used as a partisan tool. So I guess Netanyahu's in bed with the Republicans. Here's Representative John Yarmuth of Kentucky, again, another Democrat.
This speech was straight out of the Dick Cheney playbook. This was fear-mongering at its ultimate, essentially saying nuclear war is inevitable if a deal were to be accepted. This has been Prime Minister's pattern. He's gone to the UN and done the same thing.
All right. At 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com, Benjamin Netanyahu makes a speech describing the real-life dangers of what's going on in Tehran, of what it means for nuclear Iran to have the ability to wipe out his country. And you have these politicians with their personal and professional peccadilloes, if you will, ripping Netanyahu as a fear-monger. The nation he's talking about captured, stole, kidnapped our hostages for over a year in 1979. Now, many folks don't remember that. They weren't born then. They think the Iranian regime is great. Heck, you had liberal Steve talking about the religious folks running the place. When they chant on the streets, death to America, they mean it. We just have to say two words, three words, really. Pastor Saeed Abedini, held against his will because he's a Christian. Because he's an American. And what does the president do? Absolutely nothing when we're talking about Pastor Saeed. We go to Patriot Ray with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you, Kevin. You know, does anything surprise you about this president when he says he didn't hear his speech? He never heard about Benghazi till we did on the news. So why would he want to do any different with But why would he do any different with the president of Israel who comes and is speaking to Congress? And I read the manuscript, but I didn't listen to the talk. Well, I don't believe that. I believe he did listen, and I believe he knew about Benghazi and everything else that went on with the IRS, but he wants deniability and everything. Oh, this is horrible. You know, he is an individual who could not tell the truth if it bit him in the rear, and he wouldn't want to because of his ideology that everybody, in his mind, at least the Muslims, are all good. And I just don't understand the people falling so far behind him, especially in Congress, when they could control a lot of things that are happening, but they don't. And the Republicans, once again, bailed out. They do opposite of what they say they're going to do. So it's pretty sad. And it's
well, why do you think the president took it personally? It's just kind of weird, isn't it?
Well, personally, because actually Congress got up and cheered. I mean, can you imagine that? If he would get up and have Congress really get up and cheer instead of the fake stuff that they do when we look at them on TV.
Well, you get penalized in the NFL for phony crowd noise.
Well, I believe that's what he gets whenever he goes someplace. He gets all this. He brings his own people in. And the people that he surrounded himself with is amazing that we as a country have allowed that. Because he's surrounded himself with like-minded people who, in my mind, aren't happy with this country. They don't like it. They think it should be changed, which it shouldn't. Maybe a few tweaks here and there to get us back to the Constitution.
Right.
But not to the idea of changing us so drastically that we become a third world country.
Fair
and
enough.
That's what the peers are trying to do. You have a great day. Keep going forward. We love you. We're glad you're there for us.
God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
Our great friend, Patriot Ray. Boy, how do we follow that up with Rachel Sutherland from Washington from Fox News Radio at 580 KIDO? Good morning, ma'am.
Hey, good morning.
So we've heard the reaction from Israel. We've heard the reaction from listeners. What's the reaction to the big Bibi speech yesterday?
Well, Republicans, of course, cheered Benjamin Netanyahu as he spoke. But the Democrats that showed up, Kevin, they were on their feet as well. There were about 50-plus Democrats that sat out the big speech. And there was a group of them that they held a news conference directly after the speech or shortly thereafter, basically saying that the prime minister was fear-mongering and that it didn't appreciate his, quote, condescending tone. So there's a deep divide in Washington over the prime minister's speech and whether or not it should even have been given.
Well, yeah, and we've played a couple of those clips, and then you've had some people say we weren't going to be there, but a rousing response in the House. He did speak with the speaker before that. You have the president's reaction. So in the end, you have conservatives saying this is our Churchill, and you have others saying that you know nothing was accomplished. Any vibe on a majority mood there?
Well, as you mentioned, there's those two perspectives there. The president said that he didn't watch the speech, but he read the transcript, and that he said that nothing new was offered. And even the prime minister himself said that anything that he was mentioning during that speech could be easily Googled. I think what the speech did, though, is he put it on in kind of the top-of-the-mind awareness for Americans. I mean, not many of us are going to sit down and Google Iran nuclear negotiations, but maybe we are now because of this as a result. And as a result, it may make the president's sell on this deal with Iran a little more difficult. Now Congress wants to step in, get involved, and see what kind of input they can have into this deal.
Well, again, it is interesting when Netanyahu's going over these factual things and people are saying that there's nothing new and, you know, now he's back in Israel. It really underscores what's at stake with this agreement and the pressure on the administration now internally through Netanyahu coming here. To make sure that Iran follows the deal, and it's a good deal. And, you know, that's been the criticism of the past. Netanyahu brought it up yesterday. You make a deal, and they don't stick to it.
Right. Oh, yeah, he did make that point, definitely, Kevin, that one part of the deal is allowing inspectors in. Okay, well, he said that Iran often plays hide-and-cheat with inspectors, so he fully expects the Iranian government to be shady in these dealings. And he pointed out the deal only lasts about a decade, and after that, his concern is that they would just ramp up right away and start working on a weapon. 10 years really isn't that long in the perspective of an entire nation like Israel.
Rachel Sutherland, we always appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Rachel Sutherland joining us. We go from Patriot Ray to Rachel Sutherland to Alma, and Steve Forbes, if this isn't the most eclectic morning show in America, I don't know what is. Good morning, Alma.
Good morning. How are you doing, Kevin?
Well, you know, I'm just a bundle of bell pepper joy.
Well, I'm tickled pink to hear that.
Hmm.
I was Thank you for letting me back on your show. I really, really appreciate it.
This is like the 27th day in a row. You're on there with Liberal Steve. I don't know if that's good or bad.
I'm not sure either. But I like Steve. He's a good guy. And the reason I'm calling, Kevin, is I wanted to make your listeners aware of the fact that House Bill 50, which is the bill that I spoke about on Monday, they made the presentation of the bill on committee Monday, but they did not get to the public testimony. Therefore, they have not made a decision on House Bill 50 yet. They deem the Senate Resources Committee. So your listeners who are as concerned about private property rights and the destruction of them and trampling of them by the state of Idaho via the Oil and Gas Conservation Commission still have an opportunity to be heard and can email the Senate Resources Committee or call the Senate Resources Committee or even better, show up today at 1:30 to testify before the Senate Resources Committee. And I would really encourage everybody to do that. I'm pretty sure they're going to rubber stamp this one like they do everything else. But, you know, part of the reason that they're able to do that is because the public doesn't speak out and we're very apathetic, and that will come back to haunt us if we do not put a stop to this egregious bill.
Alma, we always appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Kevin. You have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 8:49, time for traffic now.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. We're joined now by Tea Party Bob. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Miller. How are you this morning?
Living the dream.
You had a great show. You had one of my favorite people in the whole world, Flat Tax Forbes, on this morning.
I thought you were going to say me.
No. I can't tell you how long it's been that I've been reading Forbes magazine. But a great person. Thank you so much for having him on. You know, I think it's a shame that we have a president who is so disrespectful to one of our strongest allies. The liberal media seems to be having a field day with the prime minister's visit, but if you listen to what he had to say, you begin to realize that he's telling the truth about our enemy. He knows that this ISIS group is an extremely serious threat, not only to his country, but to ours. You know, this president evidently doesn't understand that we have three independent branches of government, and he's shown that by all the executive orders he's written and sent out. We have two more years to endure with this man. I only hope that it's over sooner than we all want it to be in terms of time. 2 years is a long time, and he can do a lot more damage than he has over the last 6 years. Everybody talks about the economy and its recovery, but I still see people out there suffering in the middle and lower-income groups. There's got to be some change, and I'm hoping that in 2016 we're going to see some change and get ourselves a new president.
You're a Jeb Bush guy.
No, actually, I'm a Scott Walker guy, and I do think he's going to have a great opportunity to change this country around. I look at him as kind of another Ronald Reagan, but in a much milder format.
Hmm.
Not quite the Wild West Hollywood type.
That's a huge compliment. I hope he lives up to it.
I certainly hope so, too. I know that there's some serious thought at the RNC to get him into the mix. We certainly don't want Jeb Bush. You know, here's a guy who helped introduce Common Core into this country, another guy who wants to get amnesty for everybody that's illegally in this country. We don't need another Bush. You know, between the Clintons and the Bushes, we have had just too many years of, I guess it's kind of like a monarchy, and they just keep passing the crown.
Well, yeah.
You know, I'm just tired of that. We need some change, some real change. We need somebody basic from the basic middle America.
From the Midwest.
Yes, exactly. You got it.
Mm.
Hey, listen, Harry Truman was from the Midwest. He wasn't such a bad guy, was he?
Well, we've learned a lot from you today.
Well, hey, listen, you know, I'm just a small cog in a very big wheel.
Tea Party Bob, Gem State Patriot. Thank you, sir.
Have a great day.
All right. We continue on. Here's Colonel Ralph Peters yesterday with Sean Hannity.
For Americans, the most important point that Bibi Netanyahu made today was that in the Middle East today, dealing with Iran and Islamic State, the enemy of my enemy is my enemy. Obama just can't figure that out. But I am convinced, Sean, absolutely convinced that Obama and Kerry and company have accepted that Iran will get a bomb. They just don't want it happen to happen on Obama's watch. They want a decent interval of denial.
I like that, a decent interval of denial. That's really what it comes down to. How many of us can live with a nuclear Iran? Many people think the ISIS fight isn't our battle. What happens if Iran, through ISIS, through Hezbollah, Hamas, gets a nuke? What does that mean? You know, we've been very blessed to have that stuff away from us. Do you think that people that have done the horrific things that they've done to others would hesitate to use a nuclear weapon in America? Several? Time for traffic now. Kevin Miller in the morning. It is 8:59. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Coming up tomorrow, we will speak with Nagmeh Abedini. Speaking of Iran, we'll ask her about Netanyahu. I bet she has an interesting perspective that she'll share with us exclusively here at 580 KIDO. Do remind you to check out the blogs. We do our very best to continue to be involved in your lives. Appreciate you listening. Tell a friend. Good day. God bless. Keep the faith, my friends. KIDO.